Wisdom, the final frontier to true knowledge. Welcome to Wisdom Trek, where our mission is to create a legacy of wisdom, to seek out discernment and insights, to boldly grow where few have chosen to grow before. Hello, my friend. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, your captain on our journey to increase wisdom and create a living legacy. Thank you for joining us today as we explore wisdom on our second millennium of podcast. This is day 1446 of our trek, and it is Worldview Wednesday. Creating a biblical worldview is essential to have a proper perspective on today's current events. To establish a biblical worldview, you must have a proper understanding of God and His Word. This week on our Worldview Wednesday, we will continue with our study based on a course I recently completed, taught by Dr. Michael S. Heiser. Our study is titled, Sons and Daughters of God, The Believer's Identity, Calling, and Destiny. Throughout this multi-week course, we will demonstrate that in the Old Testament, sons of God and holy ones refers to supernatural beings whose Father is God and whose work with God is to carry out His will, and that this divine family was present before humanity. By fully engaging the biblical text of Psalm 82, Psalm 89, and Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 and 9, our study will show that this design family functions as a template for God's human family. God desires of human, as His imagers, to participate in His counsel. This study will address issues such as polytheism and the nature of little g gods and the uniqueness of Yahweh. Within this study, we will apply insights to the New Testament text and shows us how the metaphor of being in God's family informs us of our sense of identity and mission as believers. Today we're going to consider the divine counsel and overcoming objections. Specifically, Elohim and the divine counsel does not refer to idols. We are talking about the language of divine plurality found in Psalm 82, the plural Elohim, and whether we should understand the language to be referring to idols. To be honest, at this point, you're probably wondering how this question is even relevant, or even how it makes any sense. Well, it's based on the fear of polytheism. A lot of people gravitate toward the option of idols because they don't want the plural Elohim to be real because of their fear of polytheism. We're going to see later that this is an unsubstantiated fear. Biblical theology does not teach polytheism, but we need to continue with this question because Bible teachers and even some scholars raise it. Last week we talked about the divine counsel, and we have further support of this in Daniel 7. We already saw last week in 1 Kings chapter 22 that we have in God's counsel a heavenly host of spiritual beings. That makes perfect sense. They are the ones to carry out God's decrees. In that example, it was God's decree that Ahab was going to die. In Daniel chapter 7, we pick up another passage. Again, keep in mind that idols don't work for God. God does have an entourage. He does have a heavenly host. He does have a council. But we're not talking about idols here. So in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, we read this. Daniel says, "As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels burning fire. The streams of fire issued and came out before him, and 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open." What we have here is a divine council meeting. We have thrones, plural, set up to render judgment. We have a court, a council sitting. Books are open because God and His council, His entourage, His assembly, are going to render judgment. But what are they rendering judgment about? Well, if we read through the whole of Daniel chapter 7, they are meeting to decide the fate of the four beasts in the vision of Daniel chapter 7. The point for our purpose, though, is that these are not idols, and God does not work with idols. Next, let's move on to Nebuchadnezzar's dream and the divine decrees in Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel 4, we see something similar, except not quite as dramatic. This is the chapter in Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar gets news that he is going to go temporarily insane. In Daniel chapter 4, verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar begins explaining to Daniel what happened. You know, what he saw in his vision or in his dreams. And we read in verse 13, I saw the vision on my head as I laid in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. Now the language here is significant. Watcher is a word that is used several times in Daniel and other Jewish literature for a divine being, a member of God's heavenly host. He is referred to here as a holy one. We've already seen references to a council of holy ones back in Psalm 89, and so here they are in this scene in Daniel chapter 4. Now what happens is Nebuchadnezzar explains his dream and its meaning, and it's not good news for him. He is going to go temporarily insane. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 17 we read this, "The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives to whom he will and sets over it the lowliest of men." So we have a decision about Nebuchadnezzar being judged associated with this group. This is the decree of the watchers, plural, the decisions of the holy ones, plural. Just so that we don't misunderstand and say, well, we've just got a rogue bunch of holy ones up there making decisions that God isn't any part of. Daniel chapter 4 is going to cut through all that pretty clearly. In Daniel chapter 4 verse 24, we read a very similar language to verse 17. And it says, "This is the interpretation, O king. It is the decree of the highest, which has come upon my lord the king." But you might be thinking in your mind or asking yourself, why does God need a council? Let's get to the heart of the question. Why does God need a council? So we might as well address it here. Frankly, God doesn't need a council. He doesn't need anything. But this is what he does, and he wants it. And I think a good parallel would be to ask, why does God need humans? Why does God need us as individuals? Why does God need the church? Why does God need people for evangelism, the Great Commission? Well, the short answer is, he doesn't. God could just sort of flip switches on and off about who is going to believe and not and call it a day. He doesn't do that. He has humans participate with him in something that he wants to get done. So there is no council acting without God's approval. This is God making a decision, and the council participates with him to carry out what God wants to happen, God's decrees. And this takes our minds back to the introduction of the whole idea about this template. We are learning something about how God operates in the supernatural world with his divine family, his divine bureaucracy, his divine council. Understanding how God works with his divine family is going to help inform us about how God looks at our participation as humans. God has tasks that he wants his earthly family to participate in. He has responsibilities for us. So God doesn't need a council. He doesn't need us either. This is just how he works. So let's get back to the main thoughts at this juncture. We are not dealing with idols in these verses. Idols are the enemies of God. They are objects in which fallen, rebellious, hostile, divine beings are thought to reside. This council of Yahweh is in the skies. It is in the heavens. It is not on earth where idols are. And idols are hostile anyway. Now, the implication here, I think we've seen very clearly, that we have a participatory sort of relationship between God and the members of his family. He allows genuine participation in carrying out his will. A subthought of that is the notion, well, if he's allowing genuine participation, what about predestination? Isn't everything predetermined anyway? And we're going to discover in future lessons that no, that isn't the case. That will conclude segment 7 of our study, Sons and Daughters of God, the Believer's Identity, Calling, and Destiny. Join us again next week as we explore Shared Rule with His Heavenly Council. I believe that you'll find each Worldview Wednesday contains thought-provoking topics to consider as we build our biblical worldview. Tomorrow we will continue with our 3-minute humor nugget that will provide you with a bit of cheer, which will help you to lighten up and live a rich and satisfying life. So encourage your friends and family to join us and then come along with us tomorrow for another day of Wisdom Trek, Creating a Legacy. If you'd like to listen to any of the past 1,445 treks or read the Wisdom Journals, they are all available at wisdom-trek.com. And I encourage you to subscribe to Wisdom Trek on your favorite podcast player so that each day will be downloaded to you automatically. And thank you so much for allowing me to be your guide, your mentor. But most importantly, I am your friend as I serve you through the Wisdom Trek Podcast and Journal each day. And as we take this trek of life, together, let us always live abundantly, love unconditionally, listen intentionally, learn continuously, lend to others generously, lead with integrity, and leave a living legacy each day. I am Guthrie Chamberlain, reminding you to keep moving forward. Enjoy your journey, and create a great day every day. See you tomorrow.